This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One.
The Baton Rouge, Louisiana food scene offers an array of culinary offerings from classic po'boy sandwiches to trend-setting venues offering everything from Asian street food to exotic tacos created by a Food Network star. I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer. Come along and join me for a Baton Rouge culinary exploration. We'll start out at Jay Ducote's Government Taco, located in Star Market, fittingly located in Midtown on Government Street. You might recognize Jay from the Food Network's 11th season, where he prevailed until the very end when he walked away as a runner-up.
So I was on every episode, never got eliminated until the very end when they announced that I wasn't the winner, but it was a great run and a lot of fun.
He hosted the pilot show Deep Fried America on the Travel Channel in 2016, and he has produced and hosted the Bite and Booze radio show since 2011. Next up is Chow Yum Fat, also located in Midtown Star Market. Chef Vu Lee, along with his partner Jordan Ramirez, served their take on inspired Asian street food, including pho and ramen dishes, as well as steamed bao buns, sushi, and sashimi, all based on Chef Vu Lee's family recipes learned when he was growing up in New Orleans.
I knew from an elementary school I wanted to be a chef.
Poor Boy Lloyd's has been the go-to place for po' boys since 1967 in downtown Baton Rouge. Po' boy specials the day I stopped in included rabbit, deer, and alligator, of course.
Oh, I love the crawfish po' boy, and the seafood gumbo is really good here, and the red beans and rice.
Locals are still chattering about the time President Obama stopped by to pick up some shrimp, oyster, and roast po' boys back in 2016. Come along and join owner Fred Taylor and his daughter Rachel at Poor Boy Lloyd's. Legendary Tony's Seafood Market and Deli, the largest seafood market in Louisiana, has been serving up fresh maritime delicacies since 1959. Growing out of an abandoned gas station, Tony's today is the largest seafood market in Louisiana and the entire Gulf South.
We'll have that line until we close the doors tonight at 8 o'clock.
Wow.
And folks are getting fried catfish, jambalaya, etouffee, and they just keep coming.
From fresh live catfish to shrimp, crawfish, and Tony's legendary boudin bowls, people come from far and wide for a deli plate lunch and to fill their take-home coolers with an array of fresh seafood. Jay Ducote's Government Taco.
You were a government worker.
I was, yeah. I actually, so I got a bachelor's and master's in political science from LSU. And then I was a high school math teacher and baseball coach for 2 years. And then I got a job working for the state of Louisiana doing policy research and grant writing. And then I switched over to working for a nonprofit that worked to help administer those grants on behalf of the state. I was in a cubicle and on a computer 9 to 5, just wasn't really happy with it. So in my spare time, I started writing about food. Writing about food turned into the social media wave that I kind of rode through the food world. I started doing a lot more cooking and barbecue competition and things like that. And then that led to radio, and I still have a food and drink-based radio show on the air in Baton Rouge.
And you were on, what, the Food Network, I think, right?
Yeah. So in 2015, I was on season 11 of Food Network Star. I finished runner-up on that season, so I was on every episode, never got eliminated until the very end when they announced that I wasn't the winner, but it was a great run and a lot of fun.
So at some point, you opened Government Taco. Why and when did that happen?
It had actually been in the planning for about 2 years because it's in a modern food hall that was just in the planning phases when they approached me after my Food Network Star run about opening up a spot inside this food hall. Then it took about 2 years for all the construction and everything to happen on that because it's an entire city block development. So May 2018 is when White Star Market opened and my first restaurant, Government Taco, opened inside of White Star Market. It's called Government Taco. It's on Government Street. It's in Louisiana's capital city in Baton Rouge. And it's me putting my 2 degrees in political science to use, doing something that everybody can agree on, which is tacos.
Talk to us about signature taco.
We have fun with tacos, and we look at Louisiana flavors. We look at Southern flavors. sometimes we might marry or combine that with a little bit of Tex-Mex or traditional Mexican flavors. I actually grew up outside of Houston, so Texas barbecue and Tex-Mex and Mexican food all certainly were flavors that I grew up with, even though I'm from Louisiana and I've been back in Louisiana since 99 when I started at LSU.
So you have a smoker out back, so it follows you might do brisket?
So I love brisket. I do love brisket, and that Texas-style brisket is one of my absolute favorite meats. We don't do a brisket taco on our menu right now because I don't want to stay up all night smoking briskets every day. But in the future, I think we might do that. Our number one selling taco right now is called Clucks and Balances. It's our chicken taco that features a smoked chicken thigh that uses my spicy and sweet barbecue rub, pimento mac and cheese, Alabama style white barbecue sauce, and Nashville hot chicken skins all on one taco. So it's like the South in your mouth in the form of a taco, which is really fun because it's flavors that are familiar, it's flavors that go together super well, but serve in a taco form. So it just uses the tortilla as the vessel to deliver the flavors.
Exactly, yeah. So everything really is a variation on the theme.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We didn't want to put ourselves in a box of being overly traditional. We wanted to play around with flavors and just use the tortilla as a vehicle to deliver whatever flavors we wanted. So we'll take inspiration from all over the world, from travel, from just research, from a TV show that we watch, anything like that, and create a really cool taco. One of my employees that's standing right behind you now, Nick, came up with it was actually a completely vegan taco that was the base was rice, beans, and plantains, like right out of the Caribbean, that we did last week that went over really well with everybody. So
that's going on the menu.
Well, we'll bring that one back for sure. That was a one day special on a Friday during Lent to have a non meat option, but we'll bring that back for a taco of the month. Every Tuesday we do a unique taco that is only available that one day on that Tuesday, so you just got to keep an eye out.
And then it vaporizes.
Yeah, that's our Taco Tuesday, and then we also always run a taco of the month. We've never repeated a taco there, so it's, you know, you got to come in every month to try whatever new feature taco that we have.
Very interesting. It really is variations on a theme. An advantage in that you're not trying to be everything for everybody and do too many different things.
Yeah, we just by nature of being a taco shop in a food hall, we get to specialize in being a taco shop in a food hall. And our menu, it's curated, it's well-designed. There's everything that is on that menu is intentional, but it's not big. It's not necessarily something for everybody. People come in and they're like, oh, do you have quesadillas or burritos or whatever? And I say, no, we do tacos. And we do chips and salsa and queso, and then we have our version of a street corn, but we boil the corn in like crawfish boil seasoning and then do like a Mexican street corn after that. But we rotate those flavors as well. But that's really it, you know, and the flagship menu is six tacos. There's a seventh taco that's our taco of the month, and on Tuesdays there's an eighth taco that's a one-day special, but that's the menu.
Yeah, too many choices sometimes can make you go cross-eyed.
Yeah, I agree with that. I go to restaurants sometimes where it's a book, the menu is the size of a book, and it's just like, man, this is what this tells me is that you do everything mediocre and you don't do anything great. And I would like to think that all of the tacos that we have on this menu are great.
Let's talk about sourcing and environmental concerns on your end.
Yeah, that's always a great question, and we are very conscious of that. Where we can, we source locally. We're here in Louisiana. All of our seafood has always been Louisiana and at least Gulf seafood. We've never brought in anything else. Seafood's very important to me about where we source it and getting it locally. The seafood taco that we have on our menu full-time is a catfish taco that we marinate the catfish in my Louisiana molasses mustard in a marinade made with that, and then we fry it in completely cornmeal and masa seasoning, so it's gluten-free, actually. But that catfish is Louisiana farm-raised catfish. It's a really good product.
And how about your beef and chicken and organic sourcing that way?
Yeah, so our beef comes from a group in Texas called 44 Farms, and they do a great job with the cattle that they do. And we use chuck roll for our braised beef, and then we use tri-tip as well, which I find is a really cool steak cut that I have a lot of fun with. And then we work with a handful of other local farms, especially on the produce side, and a lot of our specials, a lot of our rotating specials are really like, let's find what's in season from a local farm and let's run that for a month because we know it's grown locally. We know the farmers that grow it. Fullness Organic Farm is right here in Baton Rouge. It's a 1-acre organic farm that is a really cool source. We'll run a taco using their Japanese eggplant for a whole month in the summer because they'll have enough of it for us to use it. It's really cool. I love being able to do that.
Any thoughts about going back on the Food Channel?
So I will be back on Food Network soon. I can't really talk about it just yet, but it'll be a show. It'll be another little one-episode competition show on Food Network. I'm excited about that. And then anytime that I get an opportunity to do something like that, I take advantage of it. So I'll be back for sure.
I love it. Wyatt, I'm going to dial in.
Excellent. Well, much appreciated.
Jay, what a pleasure to visit with you.
Yeah, thank you very much as well. So Baton Rouge is home, and I love this city. I think our food scene is really developing and emerging. It's cool to be a part of that in many ways. And this part of Baton Rouge, this mid-city corridor here on Government Street, I really just think is taking off. So this opportunity to have Government Taco on Government Street, I really wanted to take advantage of. And then all the other things that I get to do as well, a lot of catering and private events, the product lines that I mentioned, my barbecue rub, molasses mustard barbecue sauce are in grocery stores around here. JDacote.com is where people can find more. I'm pretty easy to search for. JDacote, D-U-C-O-T-E, or JDacote.com is the website where people can find out more about all that.
Thanks again, Jay.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it.
Next up is Chow Yum Fat.
Vu Lee, or you call me Fat, all my friends know me by Fat, P-H-A-T.
Jordan Ramirez.
We are at White Star Market, off of Government Street.
So right in the heart of Mid-City.
This is kind of a rebirthing area, isn't it?
Yeah, so Mid-City's been kind of going through redevelopment probably the past 5 to 7 years, I guess. But mostly in the past like 3 years, I suppose, more and more restaurants and businesses have started opening up here.
It's a real rapid rebirth, isn't it?
Very much so.
And going forward, a couple years from now, you might blink and see some different stuff.
Yes, definitely. I mean, I think it's kind of more of a walk-around feel, kind of neighborhood. Kind of like you see, like, well, I guess, Magazine Street in New Orleans. It's kind of what they're aiming for, I believe. It's kind of where you can walk different places, more art places, restaurants, more community-type places. So, yeah.
We're doing about a 7-mile stretch road diet. Put everything to just from 4 lanes to 2 lanes.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
And add, like, bike lanes and walking lanes on the side, so...
It really is a rebirth of a whole community.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's just, another 6 months, they're going to have 2 more bars down the street.
Yeah, beer hall opening up. They got a microbrewery supposed to be opening up. About to open up, like, the Red Six Social, which has, like, bowling alley and stuff like that in there.
Do you guys live in the area?
I do. I actually live about 6 blocks away.
So you can walk to work.
I could, yeah.
Oh, I live outside of Baton Rouge, a little outside, in Perryville.
A year or so ago, you guys decided to open a restaurant here. Tell us about that.
Yes, I always wanted a restaurant. Food Hall is a great opportunity to get in, to kind of test your brand, test your concept, whatever. Because you come in, it's low cost, the lease isn't long, so if it works, it works. If it doesn't, you get out, change up, and adapt to the change. And then when I opened up, Jordan came help me on the first day we opened up. I sat him down after that, like, hey, you see how we were doing the first night? Hop on, man, and I made him an offer he couldn't refuse, so now the rest is history.
And the name of the restaurant?
It's Chow Yum Fat. It's a play on an actor's name. He's in, like, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon for all the older folks. It's a hard boil, how he made his name back then, so play on his name, like, oh, and everything to do with food, chow, you know, food, yum, yummy, and fat, so.
In your food, what you stick with, is it?
We consider it Asian street food, we call it, just because we kind of play with different areas all across Asia. I mean,
anywhere, Southeast Asia.
Some of our dishes will have like Korean ingredients, Vietnamese ingredients, Chinese. So it's more of just we find flavors we like and kind of create dishes based off of that.
All fair game.
Yeah, it's all fair game. It's easier that way. You know, it's things we like, flavors we recognize, or we can like, we'll try out, see something, an ingredient like I haven't tried before, he'll introduce me to, and I'm like, man, that'd be good with this and this. We kind of just brainstorm and put things together.
Yeah, the ingredients might be authentic, but the way we put it together isn't. So it's not traditional, it's us.
It is now.
Yeah, you're right. It's just us. Yeah, we do what we want, and that's the beauty of it.
Is there a signature dish or signature dishes that people think of? Oh my God, I gotta come there and get one of those.
To ramen, because there wasn't really too many people in Baton Rouge doing ramen. So that was like our signature big moving item to kind of start with people came in for. And then, you know, once it's our menu, we have like bao, which are steam buns and wings. And then we try to run specials every weekend. We do, you know, we did like a fish sandwich, we did like fish and curry. Like we kind of just, change up based off of what we find, what we like.
And people just keep coming back for that. Yeah. They'll probably know it's for ramen, but then more than that, we do a little of everything. So, yeah.
If I came in next week, there might be a special day that I never saw before.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's kind of a model. It's kind of like, you know, let's throw something out there, test it, see how it goes. And then we run it for a week or two, and then we just take it away. Like, sorry, you missed it out. But
we'll
bring it back, we'll have something else.
And like, we brought ribs back like 3 or 4 times. People love them. So we do like a different version of a rib. And we take our own like caramel fish sauce, so we toss them in, and... it's just good. It's different. So.
Yeah, you get stale, and people are like, no, China Fat had nothing going on, so kind of had to keep changing it up.
And how did you get into cooking? Was it something from a little tiny kid?
My mom's a great cook. You know, you hear that all the time, but really, she's a great cook, and I always wanted to be in the kitchen. And as a kid, she wouldn't let us be in the kitchen, but so I would watch her. And like, so as a kid, it's always like you want to do something, but you can't, so you want to do even more. So I just grew up in the kitchens. We always own businesses and always help out. So I knew from an elementary school I wanted to be a chef. So
really?
Yeah. Interesting. I actually want to be a doctor, a firefighter, whatever. I always want to be a cook or something like that. So
in your heart.
Yeah.
And how about you?
I actually kept trying to get out of restaurants. Front of the house, bar and stuff like that. But I've always cooked. I worked at Whole Foods for a while. I was in, managed like the cheese, wine, and beer department. I did like the Moan Supper Club there, and then I had my own brand of hot sauce I was selling for a while. I've always done like pop-up dinners, and I kept trying to get out, and somehow I just kept getting drugged back into food. And then like kind of when this opportunity came up, and it was like, you know what, let's just kind of do it. And I enjoy it now. I think it's better being an owner or something than kind of being able to do your own thing as opposed to like working for other people. So
and
it's food in a different sense.
And now we have two concepts in here and expanding to a brick and mortar in a couple of months. So
we're growing. 2 weeks ago to take over a place on Perkins in like another little area. Yeah,
well, you know what keeps coming in my mind would be a food truck for you guys.
Oh, we do have a food truck.
Okay.
Yes, we do have one that's in the
right
yes. It's in the wings right now. Still need to get fixed and whatever. But if this brick and mortar didn't go through, we were gonna have that going for the summer. But then it came up. It was an opportunity came up. We had to jump on it. And so we're gonna do this brick and mortar, and then maybe another 6 months something else. So that's kind of our plan. So we opened up Chinese Fat 6 months after we opened up Yuzu, our little poke concept. Come back 6 months after, we'll have something else for y'all.
So, I love it. You never get bored.
Yeah.
Exactly. Our wives are, I think we're crazy, but you know. It's easier since there's two of us. Kind of.
They probably know you're crazy.
They call us dreamers.
Yeah,
the both of them call us
dreamers.
For further information,
find us on chowyumfat.com or Instagram would be chowyumfat.
Or yuzubr.
Yeah, yuzu.br for our concept in White Star. But then come this summer, come check us out at our brick and mortar. Going to be on Perkins Overpass, and
we'll actually have our own bar. We'll have expanded menu. We'll do a lot more stuff. Here we're running out of a small booth over here. We actually have a pretty decent sized menu for that. But new place, much larger kitchen, bigger staff, be able to kind of do a lot more, and then do events and different things we want to do. So,
so the question is, when do you guys sleep?
Never. We have at home. I have a boy and a girl twin, 2.5 years old, and he has two himself. One is 2.5 and one is 6 months, so we don't sleep.
I've been up since 4. I was telling him I woke up at 4 to feed my 6-month-old, and I haven't been back to sleep since. So.
But you actually... my
brain starts running. Once I wake up, I'm like, I start thinking, and so I think about business and work, and I just never fall back asleep.
Yeah, your parents back in the day, they don't sleep, so you got to keep hustling, so that's what we're trying to do.
Don't worry, 3-4 years from now, you'll get some sleep.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'll sleep one day.
All right, so your names once again.
Vu Lee, or you can call me Fat. All my friends and know me by Fat, P-H-A-T.
Jordan Ramirez.
I love it.
Hello, how you doing? My name is Rachel. We are in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
And whereabouts in town?
We are on the corner of Florida and Lafayette Street, downtown Baton Rouge, one block from the Mississippi River. The name of the restaurant is Po' Boy Lloyd's Seafood Restaurant.
So when we came in and went to the order board, one of the highlights today was Po' Boy with deer, and then you had rabbit,
an alligator sausage po' boy.
Mm-hmm. So that's one of the highlights of the menu today, right?
Yeah, that's the ones that scare people sometimes.
But they're real fresh alligator, right?
They sure are.
What are some of the other things? Like I noticed we got onion rings and then pickled.
Yeah, we have the best homemade onion rings and fried pickles. And then we also got coconut shrimp, and we got a shrimp cocktail, and we got lost fries. It's lost thing.
So the lost fries, they're there, but you just can't find them,
No,
right?
We have to go look for it every time somebody orders it. It comes with cheese, gravy, and jalapenos.
A couple of your favorites.
My favorites?
Yeah.
Oh, I love the crawfish po' boy, and the seafood gumbo is really good here, and the red beans and rice.
So this is mostly locals that come here, or do you have people, visitors?
We get people from all over the world. They have books written about us. The travel books, when people come from other countries, we're on the list to come when they come to Baton Rouge.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't it the place where Obama came?
Yeah.
Did you talk to him?
Oh, yeah. He walked around and took selfies with people. Yeah. And they had to lock down the restaurant, and they closed two blocks.
Wow. So that kind of got the reputation ramped up of this restaurant, didn't it?
It sure did. We also get all kind of other people here, like movie stars and local cooks and famous people, different type of people.
And you know how long the restaurant's been in operation?
It's since 1967. Mm-hmm.
And it hasn't changed much, has it?
Not too much, just a little bit. I just want to tell you this one story. We did have Gore come over here.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he wrote a check, and it bounced.
That's probably why he never made it to president, huh?
Yeah, that must be why. It had the NSF, and we were going to frame it and put it on the wall, but yeah. They can't take it from us.
Oh, really? That's funny.
This is my family's restaurant, so
oh, really?
I'm the daughter.
So you were born and bred and raised here.
I was born and bred to be in the restaurant business.
It was a natural for you.
Oh, yes.
And your name once again?
My name is Rachel Taylor.
Rachel, thank you so much.
All right, thank you very much.
Okay, so I think I talk to your dad then?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
They were all French, and I never seen so many people, and all they wanted was chicken. I said, God damn, you in Louisiana, eat some seafood. What are you doing eating chicken? They wanted to ask me, why is it taking so long? I said, well, we had to
go hunt them down in the backyard. So they were from France?
No, they were from Canada.
French-Canadian.
French-Canadians. Oh. We get a lot of that down here, a lot of French-Canadians down here.
The restaurant here, the name of the restaurant.
The restaurant comes from Lloyd Laurent. He opened this place up in 67, 1967, him and his brother Bob.
When did you buy the business?
I bought it in 85.
And now it's multi-generation. You have your daughter.
My daughter works with me most of the time. I have a son, but he works in it sometimes on weekends.
She's probably a real godsend for you, then.
When I first bought this place, I had an elder lady that she used to do all my baking, my desserts. She was kind of helped me out as far as I could leave and she would watch and everything else. But she since passed away, and my daughter does all my baking, her desserts and everything else. She picked it up, and my daughter's done a good job of it. I don't think she's mean. I'm too easy.
So tell us about what you're known for. What are the iconic items that people come in expecting to find?
So we're a luncheon restaurant over here, but we serve a little bit more. In fact, I look at our menu. We have a wide variety on our menu. Have a man who just serves chicken tenders and fries, and it has a multi-millionaire business. And I'm over here working all this. But we have po' boys and plate lunches.
And your po' boys, is there a number one most popular?
Well, the two biggest seller is the shrimp and the hot roast beef. The shrimp is the fried shrimp po' boy. The roast beef is very messy when you eat it. In other words, a lot of time you're ready by the amount of napkins you use when you eat it. So whether you're going to have
a ten napkin po' boy
or something like that, you know, and that's what they're graded by. In other words, and how much they get on their shirt and everything else, all right.
Today, You had deer on your menu and rabbit and alligator?
It's unique. Like I said, you don't have too many places that have that on it. We have regular, these are sausage that we have. We have a regular pork sausage, but we have a hot sausage. Then we have the rabbit, the alligator, the deer, sausage, po' boys, and stuff like that.
And so the derivation of the po' boy comes from a poor boy that's all exactly. You could afford was the scraps and whatnot, right?
It was. I think if you go to history, New Orleans knows more about it. It started in New Orleans where they had a strike going on with the railroad or something like that. They had a strike, and so these people that worked for the railroad, they weren't working, they didn't have no money, but they go down there all the time. So the man seen them come down and say, "Oh, Lord, here come them po' boys. Let's get some cheap meat out and bread." And they give them cheap meat and bread.
That's all they could afford.
That's where it's supposed to have come from.
So on your po' boys, what are the ingredients beyond the meat itself? What do you typically put
in? It's mainly what people want. You know, a lot of say, you're surprised. When we say dressed, we mean lettuce, tomatoes, and mayonnaise. You could get anything you want. We'll put cheese. We'll put anything, peppers and onions and everything else on the po' boy. But that's a simple way we'll say dressed. And when it's dressed, it's lettuce, tomatoes, and mayonnaise.
Some people don't want it dressed?
You'd be surprised. They're tomatoes. Nobody wants tomatoes. They don't eat tomatoes. Some people will want that, but that's the biggest fault. Everybody eats lettuce just about, but no tomatoes, and they cut back on the mayonnaise sometimes.
This is a Friday night.
Yes.
And you've got live music coming in here tonight.
To be honest with you, we're the first one to start opening on Friday nights with serving food and music. We've been doing it for, I don't know, 15 years or something like that, having live music and people come by. And it's casual. It's more of a, like I said, it's not a bar room, but we do serve beer and wine.
But you're saying 15 years ago wasn't happening until you...
Downtown, the atmosphere downtown has changed a bunch.
So 15 years ago, things were just pretty shut and closed up.
People do talk about downtown, they didn't have nothing good to say about downtown. It was always more of a negative type deal. But the things in downtown right now is nice. There's nothing wrong with it. They're building, in fact, all the buildings down here have the upstairs on it, and most of them are all apartments. They're starting to rent them out. They opened up some of the bank buildings have turned into apartments, and some of the state offices have turned into apartments. So they're getting a lot of activity down here. The biggest problem downtown is finding parking.
You've been here over 30 years now. Have things changed, or they may remain?
I've been through some ups and downs. When I first bought this place here, there might have been 5 or 6 restaurants downtown. Had a line out the door. We was only open for breakfast, and they closed at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Had to lock the door. People trying to come in. Hotels. When I first bought this in 85, they had one hotel down there. It was a Travel Lodge, which is right over there. It was not something that you want to stay at. Mostly it was a homeless go by and stay there or something like that. It was not very nice. But nowadays, like what has happened lately, like I said, they built up. Now we went from no hotels. Now they got 7 or 8 of them downtown. Hotels have kind of helped up. We get people traveling through. Like we get all the French people staying down here visiting. A lot of people want to come down here and see the Mississippi River. And that's a big show. You'd be surprised. People come down there just look at the Mississippi River. And they fixed up the levee really nice. It's nice to walk up on top of the levee. So that has picked up, and that's what helped business out and kind of changed things. It's not dangerous down here. So that's basically it. But right now, like I said, you got a younger crowd. Weekends, you get a younger crowd come in here. I know the Fridays and Saturdays, we close at 10. Of course, at 10:30, the young crowd comes on here. And they're not worried about eating at Po' Boy Lloyd's. They follow one another route. A lot of them on another route. So we'll get families in here to come and eat with us.
Well, thanks for sharing.
Okay, well, I hope I didn't talk too much.
not enough. And your name again?
My name is Fred Taylor, Po' Boy Lloyd's.
In downtown?
Downtown Baton Rouge on the corner, 201 Florida Street, one block from the river.
Front row center.
That's right.
Thank you so much.
All right, well, good enough. Thank you all for coming by. I hope you enjoyed everything. Y'all didn't eat very much.
Charles Dupuis.
Charles, here we are at Tony's Seafood Market in Delhi. Tony's is unique in the whole South, isn't it? They're hardly any other place quite like this.
Well, there's so many different things happening here. You know, you can go get, you know, good food in one place and fresh seafood in another place and good boiled crawfish, but to get them all in one location, I think that's what's unique about this.
Well, and the diversity of things that you offer, I mean, it's almost like a kind of fresh grocery store.
There's a lot going on here, and we're concerned about the quality of all of it, and that's what keeps people coming back. You can get crawfish in a lot of places in South Louisiana, but we make that effort to make really, you know, we're buying quality, we're taking the time to clean it and cook it right, and that consistency and quality, that's why we're so crowded in here right now.
So off to our left, there's like a whole cafeteria, basically.
Yeah.
There's a line of people getting fresh, fried, baked, cooked lunches.
Oh, yeah, and that's going to go on all day today. We'll have that line until we close the doors tonight at 8 o'clock.
Wow.
And folks are getting fried catfish, jambalaya, etouffee, and they just keep coming.
Way down spanning the middle back wall is a fresh fish market, basically.
Right, so both of those things are happening here. So you can get live fresh catfish cut to order. We've got fresh Gulf fish. We've got local caught Gulf shrimp, fresh crab meat, fresh oysters. So all that's happening at the same time.
And then down at the far end, I love the catfish tanks.
Yeah. That's unique. So we're looking at 6,000 pounds of live fish. My guys are scooping out, and you can pick out whatever fish you like and have it cut to order.
How many fresh catfish pounds would you sell per day?
I got the week number, if that helps.
Sure.
About 5,000 pounds of filet catfish each week is sold. And then I also do about 6,000 pounds of the live catfish in addition to that.
Do some people take them home live?
Occasionally, not as often.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, somebody wants one for their pond at home, so they'll take them live. But most of what, they don't really care to clean them themselves, so we'll do that for them.
Mm-hmm. And then what are some of the other regional specialties?
The Gulf fish is something you just can't get that quantity and quality of Gulf fish. You know, there are going to be some markets that have a few nice fish, but to be able to look at one case and see redfish, red snapper, speckled trout, flounder, black drum, local, you know, cobia, lemon fish, it's unique to see that in one location.
There really aren't many other fresh fish markets in the whole South that are quite like this, right?
Not really. You're going to see frozen fish. You're going to see some, maybe a little bit of catfish fresh here and there, but nothing to this extent. No.
Talk to us about the regional specialty, the sausage.
One of the things that's bringing people in is our boudin balls. We make a lot of the boudin links here, but boudin balls seem to be the favorite. If you're from Louisiana, you're familiar with boudin. It's a really good, rich rice dressing.
Tell us the backstory, the history of boudin, and how it started.
Well, Cajuns, as like a lot of cultures that didn't have a lot of resources, they needed to make some food, and they didn't have a whole lot of meat after they butchered that pig. And so from the scraps, they were making boudin. So you took the hog casings, a little bit of meat and fat that you had left, blended it with rice and onions and seasonings, stuffed in a sausage casing, and there's your boudin.
So the rice really was kind of in a filler extender, right?
Right, right. You just didn't have enough of the good stuff. You probably sold the good stuff, and that's what you were left with.
Kind of prehistoric hamburger helper.
Yeah, pretty much. Just stretch it out.
So I imagine they're kind of boudin cook-offs and whatnot, a lot of competition.
Oh, absolutely.
Who and where makes the most authentic?
Yeah, really popular. Of course, you know, we're on the borderline of boudin country and Cajun country in Baton Rouge, so we're kind of mixed a little bit.
You know what's interesting down here? There's this hierarchical world of the South, you know, and who is kind of the pure center point.
Yeah, so, you know, we're in Louisiana, but South Louisiana is definitely different than North Louisiana, where South Louisiana has its own culture. It's blended with French and Spanish and Creole, and where you get to North Louisiana, it becomes a little more homogenous, and it's like Mississippi and Alabama, where it's kind of the same culture. Where you get to South Louisiana, it's just totally different.
So the South Louisiana people probably think the Northerners are Northerners.
Above Alexandria, that's been said, yes.
Isn't that funny?
So what's different about South Louisiana, you have such a mix. You know, everybody likes to have a good time, but we seem to be good at it. you know, we like our food, we like our music, we have a good time. You know, right now in Baton Rouge, we've got the Blues Festival going on. You had the French Quarter Fest in New Orleans this weekend. So just the springtime is just a lot of fun for us.
The history of a lot of the people here is not riches and wealth by any means, the opposite. And yet they managed to have a smile on their face and celebrate life.
Yeah, and that's what I think a lot of the cultures that don't have the resources, I hate to say it, they tend to be a little happier sometimes. You know, you get all this worried about what you've got and what the neighbor's got, and that's not fun. We like to have fun.
That's so cool. And a little bit about you. How did you come to be involved here at Tony?
Well, I started off with a cafeteria chain and learned how to cook and learned how to manage restaurants. Got out of that, got into food sales. And if you're selling food, you want Tony's as a customer. Just huge volumes, where instead of selling cases, I was selling truckloads. And after getting to know the guys here, they convinced me to work for them. And that was 25 years ago.
And Tony was still around then.
Yeah, at that point, Mr. Pizzolatto, he was still here. He was a little retired at that point, and his sons still run the operation today.
So very much family-owned, family-run.
Oh, absolutely. They're here. They're running it. They're involved.
So anybody in the area, if you said, oh, I was at Tony's, they'd know right where you're talking about.
Absolutely, yes.
So it's an icon.
Yep.
All right, Charles. Well, thank you so much for sharing.
Glad y'all could come. Good to have you.
Website
tonyseafood.com.
Excellent. I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. We'll see you down here.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
Associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Molly Blaisdell, San Francisco, and Katya Singel, San Luis Obispo, California.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided in part by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. People often associate the Society of St. Vincent de Paul with thrift stores. Donations like clothing, your gently used couch, or still serviceable washing machine generate funds to assist the Society in putting food on the table for people in need, or keeping the lights on and families in their homes. To find a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in your area, visit svdpusa.org. But along my appetite, it was